this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
How's it, everyone? There's some seats left here for you guys over there. You're not going to see well. I think there's about 50 people can fit in front. So if you rather want to move from behind the pews over there, you're welcome to come and sit here. When was I at Shofar Pretoria? When was that in the holidays? Yeah, so I saw some of you, but there's a lot of people here tonight. So welcome to you. So just let me set an expectation for you before I start. I am a straight shooter, so I'm gonna take the gloves off and tell you how it is. Is that okay? Yeah, bring it on. I can see it. Okay. So if you're a girl and you really want a boyfriend, just stand up quickly. No, I'm just joking. I mean, some of you are already this far off your seat. All right. So let me just pray. I know this is an important topic, so let us just pray for me as well. Father, I pray that as I present this topic tonight, Lord, that every word that comes from me that is inspired by anything except your Holy Spirit, that it will just fall away, Lord. Father, there's a lot of young hearts here, Lord, and I see a lot of potential, Father. And what you want for them, Lord, is not an amazing one-year fling, but what you want for them is a long-term marriage. And Father, I pray that tonight as I minister and as the Holy Spirit works through me, Lord, that you will start to shape hearts, desires, expectations, to set them up for amazing marriage, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So tonight, can you read on there? Should we make it darker? Not too dark. The topic doesn't allow us to dim the lights too much in this place tonight. But can you see? Just thumbs up. Can you see what's on the screen? Right. Finding a rock solid partner. Now, we had this sermon series in Secunda. We just called it Rock Solid Faith, and we were talking about solid topics and stuff. So I decided to call this Finding a Rock Solid Partner. Isn't that what you want? Amen? You can be friends with anyone. You can play jokes with anyone. But the moment you step into marriage, you want a rock solid partner, not a flimsy thing, right? Now, just to give me an indication, who's not in Shofar Pretoria? Who's not in the church? Of course, quite a few people. So this is almost like a Sunday night sermon on relationships. So bear with me, right? And who of you is in other churches? Just to give me an indication. Cool, quite a few. So welcome here, and I hope that you enjoy tonight and that you find our company pleasant. So let's start off because there's a lot of stuff to go through. First slide there. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me just start off by saying God wants what is good for you. Did you know that? Do you believe that? He wants what is good for you. He wants you to have a great marriage, not one that suffers. He wants you to have a great relationship as you move towards marriage. God is into long-term relationships, and he wants to bless you with one that works for you because he made you. Right? But for us to grasp, you know, this thing that God has for us, it's important to know that there's certain things we need to let go of. Right, and that's the difficult part. Maybe my wife said she made this long list of what her man should be like one day. You know, maybe you've got your list. You know, no, he must be like this, be like that. Maybe you've learned from your parents a certain way of relationship that you need to forget very quickly. Right, but for us to grab on, hold on what God has for us, we need to let go of our things. And that's what I'm asking you tonight. Are you willing to let the Word of God shape your thoughts? right? Be willing. So what I'm going to do is I want us to close our eyes just for 20 seconds, and I want you just to commit your heart to God and say, God, bend me tonight in any way you want to. Okay, I'm going to give you 20 seconds. You can just pray under your breath. Amen. Let's skip one slide there. Number one, I'm going to give you five pointers. You better hold on to your seatbelts. Number one, what is true in singleness echoes in marriage. Did you know that? The essence of who you are right now will determine the quality of your marriage. You know, it's funny. I always sometimes think, if I marry, I will do this differently. No, he won't. No, she won't. If I only marry, then yes, at least I've got this, you know, this sexual tension that's in me. It's dealt with. Marriage is the solution. No, it's not. Whatever you struggle with and whatever's got you while you are single will echo in your marriage. Did you know that? Did you know that the person that you may be going out with, who he is who he is, and that's going to come out in marriage, maybe even more so than in a relationship. It's important to know this. Let me just start off by saying it kind of negatively, and then I'll swing it positively. If you as a man struggle with pornography, right? Look, I'm also a man. We all have walked that road or are busy walking that road, or trying to get out of it. But let me tell you what, marriage won't be a solution for that. If you are given over to pornography now, you will struggle with it in marriage. It's true. Who's married here? Am I the only one, Philip? Oh, yeah. Okay. You ask the other two married people in this place. And almost. Listen, can my wife just stand up for a moment, please? Stand up, honey, and turn around. She's actually two persons. There's like a little baby in her tummy at the moment, and we're very excited about that. Men, let me carry on. Guys, if you as a single man struggle to guide your eyes, if it's difficult for you, you know, you keep on looking at women and you know you look at them the wrong way. Maybe you don't want that to be in your life. Maybe it's something you struggle with, but it's present in your life. It won't go away in marriage. Something that God needs to deal with now. Did you know that? Ladies, if you are jealous, okay, if there's a root of jealousy in your heart and it's so difficult for you to trust maybe the person you go out with, or maybe you're single now but you did go out with someone and you remember yourself as kind of a jealous person, it will get worse in marriage. Who you are will continue. And that's why God wants to do a work with us while we are still students, so that he can prepare us. So are you with me? Right? Whatever the condition of the tree, that is the condition of the fruit. Ladies, if he disrespects you now, he's going to disrespect you in marriage a lot more. For crying out loud, he shares a bed with you, a toilet. But now I want to bring it to the other side. And I want to say, guys, there's a way that God wants to prepare our character for marriage. I talk about marriage tonight, not about relationship, because God is into marriage. Are you with me? That's how he sees relationship. He doesn't see it in any other way. Working towards that. When you are in a relationship, you are figuring out, is this what God wants? If it's not, you get out, because you need to prepare for that person, right? So we don't just hang around in relationships. You will hurt yourself, not me. I'm happily married. if you use your singleness as a time to grow stronger, you carry that into your marriage. Let me give you an example. Who's got an accountability partner here? You know, who knows what that is? Accountability partner is someone you can trust, which means you make a mistake one evening, you go on a computer site you're not supposed to, but guess what? You face your accountability partner tomorrow and you have to tell him everything. Isn't that right? Now, that is a good thing, okay? Because it teaches you to be an open person. It teaches you to be humble, to be vulnerable. Listen, I messed up. Pray with me and work with me. So number one, you are building an honest character, someone that doesn't hide away sin. But in the meanwhile, as you practice accountability, God is actually delivering you also from that specific thing that you want to be delivered from. And if you work on that now, you will carry that good momentum into your marriage as well. Work on your purity. The best way to prepare for marriage is work on purity. Isn't that right? We used to have this thing in university where we would train our eyes, you know. It's a stupid little slogan we have because it doesn't even rhyme. We just say, if in doubt, look away. So you see, you know, it's getting warmer on the campus and it goes from jerseys to basically nothing. And you just see in the corner of your eyes, there's something bouncing down the university pathway. And you just look away. You don't look again. If in doubt, you just look away. And we had this thing going amongst us that wanted to be pure. And you know what? It's amazing. We trained our eyes and we trained our hearts. It's a stupid little slogan, but it always worked. Especially on Stranddienste. I mean, we were like... There's nowhere to look. The guys will know what I'm talking about. The ladies. Ladies, let me just hit a bit of into the depth of your heart. Search your heart. And this is difficult, difficult, difficult. Do you love the idea of marriage more than Jesus? This is so important. Let me tell you what. Jesus gives marriage, right? He rules over it and he loves marriage. Okay, it's supposed to be for him. It is through him and for his glory. Is marriage good? Yes, it's amazing, but it's from God. The moment we invest all our heart in this, this thing swings around. We are here at church so that God can help me get into a marriage. And you know what happens? You get married and you used to go on missions. You don't go anymore. I mean, you used to like testify to people, but you don't anymore because actually your calling has ended. And for men, I don't see that so much as a problem. I'm generalizing. Is that okay? Because we are focused, okay? It's for our downfall. We can be focused on the wrong stuff as well, right, guys? But ladies, let's protect our hearts, okay? Protect your heart. So I also want to sum up this point in this way. Many things about church prepares you for marriage. Let me give you a few examples. Number one, like you're in a relationship with friends in a small group. And now sometimes these people make you mad, right? So the Bible says go to your brother and you practice to forgive. And you practice to go to your brother or your sister and say, listen, I'm hurt with this. Can we talk? Now, you are teaching, you are learning yourself valuable communication skills to take it into marriage. Be in the church. Be planted in the church. And when you are hurt in the church, don't walk away. Walk towards. Deal with that conflict. You carry that into marriage. Exercise forgiveness. Train yourself to be slow to anger. You need that in marriage. Because what happens is sometimes there's stuff and it's not sin. It's just the way my wife grew up, and there's a different way I grew up. Like, for example, let's say in your house, you used to use the kitchen for 3 days, and then you clean it up, and then you clean it properly. But in your partner's house, they clean it every night. Now, the one that wants to clean every night, you're starting to build up frustration. The other one doesn't even know about this. And then you're... And then the lid just pops off and you're like, bah, 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 bah. Okay? We need to be slow to anger, but we also need to be able to engage and know how to talk to someone. Use your small group. Guys, speak to your buddies in small group. Make a practice of it. Like when you feel something, try and express your feelings. It's hard for us. Like, how was your day? Right? Every day is great. Doesn't matter if you get fired. It's great. So practice in small group. Bring your heart before your friend and say, today I felt like this. Can we pray about it? Get that thing, get that juices going. Right? You need that. And serve in church. Ladies, I'm running a bit in front of myself. But now let me not run ahead of myself. Let me rather say this. You know what's good preparation for marriage? If you want your marriage to fulfill its calling, go on missions. You know why? You spent money towards something that is not selfish. The moment you're done here, you earn a lot of money, you get married, and life is just cool, and you never go on missions again. Go on missions and make it a habit. It'll teach you and your husband to live for something greater than yourselves. Because it's interesting, when your friend starts getting this car and the big choreographed set, and you start living inwardly. Go on missions. Prepare yourself. If you live for God now full out, the chances is that you carry that into your marriage. Guys, serve the church. This is very important. The church is the bride of Christ. It is as close to a marriage as you will come before you marry. You serve her. You make her beautiful. You pray for her. You play your instrument in the church. You serve selflessly for God. And you get married and you know how to serve your wife. Ladies, that's a good tip. The guy that does the speakers and the sound when there's no one there, flips the computer. I think you get what I'm saying. What is true in singleness echoes in marriage, both positive and negative. Have your eyes open. Is he serving the church? He'll serve you. He treats the church like, I'll go when I want to. I do it the way I want to. Guess what? You get married. You, the church there, is going to serve you in the same way when it fits him and when he wants to. Are you happy with point number one? Number two, God-centered relationships centers around God chemistry. And do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Let me just explain what I'm trying to say here. By the way, I was a pastor in Cape Town, and when you do really well, you get promoted to Secunda. Right, that's how things work. Now, I am a bit scared where they're going to send me from here if I do well again. But you know what? To move from Cape Town and leave your family behind, like both our parents live there, everything we know is there. To move up, it takes some kind of wife. Let me just talk about a wife for now. Your wife needs some kind of, calling mongrel, you know? She needs to be tough. Now, let me tell you what, guys. If you know you've got a calling to plant church, you can't marry someone that says, I never want to leave Pretoria. It's not going to work. Right? You need some kind of God chemistry where you both agree, listen, we will go wherever we want to go for God, and we'll do it. I don't care if we live in a big house, small house, if we're on a bike or on a car. And if that's the kind of thing that drives you, it does impact who you go out with, right? Isn't that true? We need long-term vision. Just some example, you know, like Peter was called to the Jews. He knew he was called to the Jews, and so he focused his ministry on the house of Israel. But Paul was called to the Gentiles. You know, sometimes we are called for different stuff. Now, let me just go nitty-gritty. I'm going to shoot straight. Let's say who loves Foundation 4 here? Okay, who loves to facilitate it, do it? You calm with people shouting, manifesting on the floor. And that is something you want to do. You want to help people be free. You want to be in the deliverance ministry. You know what? Guess what? You probably can't marry someone that's in a traditional church that doesn't believe in demons. Your calling's going to fall away. Boom. You need some kind of God chemistry. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to find other commonalities. Let me name a few. Weekends away. For married people. Listen, you single, you don't know what I'm talking about. This thing becomes an idol. We earn money. We go away every weekend. Oh, Sunday night, we're so tired. We're going to skip church tonight. You know, the problem with us is we at university, you earn well. You can go away almost every weekend. So you find another commonality, which is not God. And you know what? You never ever grow to that potential that God has put out for you. What has God placed on your heart? What makes you tick? You can't marry someone that's just like you. There must be something, must be a foundation to say, within this we can work. Now, I went out with a girl. It cost me a lot of trouble with my wife, my present wife, I'll tell you that. But before I mention what happened there, let me just draw a picture of how God worked in my life. So in school, I got saved, and suddenly all my friends didn't like me anymore. I'd won. I went to university. There was three other people that saved. At the end of the year, there was about 10, and the next year, there was 50. So and in the midst of that, I mean, we had our car's wheels deflated, eggs on the roof, tackies in the toilet, you know, persecution, tough times. But I was formed within the things are tough, but I will stand up for God. So God was preparing me for this life of standing up for Him, doesn't matter what. When I went to my first day of work, that was at the Sports Science Institute in Cape Town because I studied as a biokineticist. I walked in there with a mission t-shirt that said, "It is finished." I didn't realize I put it on. So as I walked in, the first guy, he's a Muslim, and he asked me, "Are you religious?" And like everyone's there. And so I said, "It depends on what you mean by that, but I love Jesus Christ." And a lot of people were talking about my back, but 2 weeks later they were in church because I stood up. Now, why am I telling you that? Because I went out with this girl, and one day after church, and it went really well. I mean, we had a beautiful relationship. It was pure. It was clean. And I thought, you know, we're going to a good place. And I said one night, "I'm willing to go wherever, ever God sends me." It was after church. We were just having coffee and chatting. And you know what she told me? "I'm never going to leave the Boland because God is calling me to be a teacher here and to work with the kids here. I want to be close to my parents." And shortly after that, our relationship ended because I knew this is not going to work because guess what? I'm in Secunda now. What is God, man? It is important. Do you get what I'm saying? Philip, you agree with what I'm saying? And the other one married person in this place. Listen, if your husband and wife, if you think they're hot, okay? That chemistry is also important. I mean, look at my wife. Come on. I mean, that is. I'm just trying to make her like red in the face, but it doesn't work. I mean, she's used to these kind of jokes. But I'm telling you, a God chemistry is a lot more attractive than outer beauty. I promise you that you won't believe me. You know what we used to do in university? We used to sit on the trappies there by the DF Malang. And so we checked the girls coming to church, right? And you know who was the most attractive girls? Those who came alone in their cars. We found them just crazy attractive. How can this girl, without being in a bunch, have to psych her up to come to church or coming with a guy? This girl comes on her own. She parks her car and she walks into church alone. That's the kind of woman I want to marry. And we all agreed on that. God chemistry. Guys, you want a girl with a sense of calling and other way around. Girls, do you agree with me? Say amen. 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 So say for your boyfriend, kombay. Now, let me just touch on this. I'm going to talk on one or two things that's a bit more applicable for married people, but you want to hear this. The S word. Submission. Now, this is a curse word. Do you agree with me? Feminists around the world hates it, right? And I agree. Let's be honest about it. There's a lot of abuse around the world. Isn't that true? I mean, there is women and children being beaten up. Apparently, some women beat men. I don't know what they're on, but it goes two ways. But mostly, let's generalize. There is domestic violence. And this thing has put a lot of fear into people. Let's just be honest for a second. Who's kind of scared for this thing? Ladies, put up your hand. Come on. It's okay. Good stuff. Guys, who's scared of this thing? Now, I'm glad you put up your hand. I'll tell you why. Because I'm gonna hopefully put it into your fear right now. Let's just read this together. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. In everything, that's strong words. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's just as strong. And gave himself up for her. Let me tell you what is the most devastating thing that can happen to a marriage. Oh, maybe not most devastating. Someone can die. All right. Okay, you caught me. But this is right up there. This is right up there. You marry this man. You've got this God chemistry going. Yes, he's the missions leader. He is your hero. And then you know that one day, he feels he isn't the man of the house anymore. Do you know what? He shrinks back. He's scared of you. He's scared of your tongue. He's scared of what you might say if he takes initiative, so he don't. He sits back. That is devastating, I tell you that. That is a lot more devastating than your husband making a few calls that you disagree. You want the hero of your house to be the hero of your house. And that is what God is trying to do here. Yeah, but he makes bad decisions. You don't know this man. He is just, I mean, if he can only be more like that guy, let me tell you what, he will make mistakes, right? I'm talking about marriage, but I need you to get this principle. Is that okay? When he makes a bad decision, loses money or loses his job for a while or just does something stupid, who must support him? Tell me. His secretary? That's a valid question. Because if you only going to nail him every time he makes a mistake, where is he going to get his comfort from? Who's going to furnish him with love and a safe place? You want it to be in your house. Even his friends, I mean, every night he's away. Nee, gaan naar Jan toe. Hoekom gaan hy naar Jan toe? Because Jan backs him, but Jan's not his wife. Okay, you see what I'm getting at? Now, let me just take this to singles. You should not submit to any man that's not your husband. Okay, you know that, you understand that. And you only submit not to a husband, to your own husband. That's also important. It's very important. But now this doesn't apply to you. How now do we work with this being in a relationship, going on to being engaged? Let me just ask you this, ladies. What do you see in the man, in Jan? What's in you? I mean, do you see a leader? Do you see a calling? Do you want to walk behind this man or not? If not, you need to get out of that relationship because you're going to have to. Because you're going to promise it before God and people to make that covenant. So even though you don't submit right now to your boyfriend, you need to start checking out, is this the man that I would like to follow and support? Is this the man that I want to make mistakes and I'll be a part of it because I know at the end we will be going somewhere? Ask yourself that question. That's important. Now, I just want to throw it out there, just a technical thing. Submission is not cold obedience, all right? It's not Okay, Carlos, do what you say. That's not what it is. It's a heart thing. It's about I back you, come hell or high water. And if we need to decide between these things and you say this, I back you. You know, my wife and I, we've got funny stories. She'll tell you a lot of it. But the one, let me just tell the one. But there's been plenty. So there's times when I'm kind of tense about stuff, but mostly I'm laid back. So I say, I think we must take your car because we had to go to Otsuren for Troa, for a little wedding. For a Troa. For Troa. So she says, no, because I want to put my bike on the thing, right? No, you don't put your bike on my car. Let's take your car. And I had an old Toyota. This thing just got by. I'm like, yeah, I really want to take your car. She says, yeah, I really want to take your car. I'm like, okay, let's take my car. Now, we didn't have an argument, but I went with what she said. Guess what? 100 kilometers, this thing breaks down. Someone needs to come. I think Margareta was coming out still with a battery with a friend of hers. And there was no argument, but just God blesses what the husband decides. And it's just strange how this works. So my wife will sometimes joke. So we're like, should we go do this or that? She's like, no. What do you want? And let's just do it. And it... And it's funny, but it's true. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stories. Now, let me just use this analogy. I'm still playing towards the submission thing. So someone comes to the church, another Yanni number two. Philip, will any band spiel? No. It's like, okay, hello, it's Philip. Welcome, where are you from? Like, listen, Yanni, now first come for a month and help the band set up. Okay, you've heard that kind of thing, all right? Let's just check where your heart is. Right, a month later, Yanni is still there plugging in the cables. Yanni, you can be in the band. Philip, will a cell areas? No, let's first attend cell. Let's first be a part of a cell. And 2 months later, that guy's still there working hard. You can be a cell leader. Now, in the same way we practice to be in the kingdom, in the same way you can practice this kind of thing. So in your relationship, how's this thing going? I mean, you can't tell her submit right now, but you can kind of see how's it going. Is she always backlashing you? Does she always disagree? Is she always unhappy with what you say? You know what? You're not at a good place. I mean, you can chat about it and see if something changes, but you are practicing for marriage. What is true in singleness echoes in marriage. She's still under her dad's authority. If you are blessed to have a dad still. But you can kind of test me. Let me say another thing. Just again, where's the wives? One, two, my wife, three, four. Wow. Four. Let me say one thing. Women often say, but what about my calling? Right? What about my calling? What about my desires? I wanna go places for God, and now you're telling me that I should submit in everything to this man. You know what I've seen more than once? If you stand before Philip or a pastor to get married, you are entering into a covenant, right? And God says this is how it works. So firstly, your calling is to honor the covenant which you want to go into. You don't have to get married. Did you know that? Right? But now you get into marriage. Guess what? Part of your calling is to submit to that man. So choose well. We don't arrange like weddings in Secunda. You guys? No. So choose well. Listen to this, ladies. This is important. There's an invisible part to your calling. And no one's going to see it except your husband and God. It's going to be the part where you furnish him with love, support, and take pressure off him. And you conquer that part of your invisible calling, and at a stage, God propels you. Boom. Who knows Christelle from Standard Dawn? What was it? 4 years ago. The only people who know Christelle back then is the pastor. She comes to the pastor summit and she shares on relationships. And she shares a cracker of a session. Like people's crying. And Fred said, I remember, he said, that's our main pastor, Fred May. He said, I think something just started for Christelle here. Do you remember that, Philip? Next year, she speaks at Awaken, 2,000 people. Next year, now everyone wants Christelle to come and preach at the church, and they forget about Anton. He's been preaching for 15 years, okay? Now, I'm joking, but you see, no one knew. She was raising, this is a joke, for 10 years, I've been changing nappies. She's got 5 kids. At the age 55, she doesn't have a congregation. She doesn't speak to 300 people. She speaks to thousands. She was faithful. And at the right time, God said, go. Do you understand that, woman? That is important. Choose your husband well. Have patience. Honor your covenant when you marry, what you should do. And you know what? God's timing is perfect. Can I get one amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to say something for you guys as well. You know, we have to sacrifice a lot as well because we cannot do what we want to do. We must do what God wants us to do. We cannot live for ourselves, guys. We submit to God. And yes, He's not in the room and He's not telling us orders like we are towards the wife, but we will give an account for whether we left what we wanted to do for what He wanted us to do. So both of us are dying in a certain sense, in a good sense. You're dying to the flesh. Next point. Now, I was wondering if I should share this, and I will. Rock solid lovers exercise control. For this is the will of God your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles. I'm going to go fast here because it's not where I want to stop. Men, it's difficult to control your body, right? Let's be honest about it. But God is so powerful. He works in us a purity that we can carry into our marriage. And that is amazing, right? But let me give you a few examples on why marriage does not serve the porn problem or the masturbation problem. Okay, I'm shooting straight. Sometimes when you are married, you cannot have sex. It's not possible. Whatever the reason, maybe she's sick, maybe she's not there. And you need to exercise control over your body. Practice it now. You know, the worst thing for you to do as a man is when your wife's not there to go on the computer and look at pornography. Man, that just breaks your marriage. So we need to exercise control now. Right? And ladies, the same for you. Let's get victory in that aspect now because we need to carry it into marriage. Sometimes the opposite is true as well. Now I'm going to share a fact that you single people won't understand. There is times when you don't want to have sex. Did you know that? Okay, men. There's times when you had a terrible day. There's times when you know, when this is just not where your head's at. And when you're married, sometimes because your partner is ready and they need love, then you must have sex. So you need to control your body in that way as well. Okay? And you can't think that is something bad, right? But it is a part of marriage, right? I told you I'm going to talk straight. And that's why, girls, you need to marry the right man. That he can be gentle with you. That he can be patient with you. That he can understand you. Because if he's going to be pushing you the whole time, it's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to steal your confidence. Am I still pretty enough? Does he still love me? Does sex equal love? If we have sex, did it mean that I looked pretty tonight? But the other night, we weren't together. Didn't I look beautiful? You see what I'm getting to this? What is true in singleness, it goes in marriage. Is he pushing you now? Talk to someone. Don't carry on. It's going to get worse. Amen? But I do want to say this, as single people, sexual desires is not bad. It's from God, right? You are made that way. It is natural for you to want to have sex, okay? Philip will sort out the problems tomorrow of the stuff I said. But you must decide. Do you want it cheap or do you want it beautiful? That's your decision. Do you want it for with one person that God gives you for 40 years? Or do you want it for 6 months with this other guy around the corner and then he walks away? Doesn't answer your calls. You must decide. You must make the decisions, guys. It sounds like I'm joking, but this is the decisions we need to make. One of our friends, she's a close friend to my wife and I. She speaks so well on relationships because she came from a broken background. You know, she'll tell you straight. On the night she first had sex, she was not married, and the man bought them McDonald's. And that happens probably more often than you think. Just cheap, there it goes. Make a decision for yourself tonight. If you are on the right road and you feel like, man, this road is getting long, you're on the right road. Just stay on that. Listen, I don't know you guys. If you are stuck in a relationship you should not be, you know what? God forgives. God helps you, and He will fix you up. All right? He is in the healing business. So there's hope for you as well. Amen? Now, how much time do I have left? Okay. Now, listen, I'm going to take you deep now. Now, you need to pay attention. Who's in relationships? Just again, not married relationships. Okay. Now, you that's in relationship maybe understand what I'm talking now a bit better than those who's single. Who's the singles? Okay. Whoa. Wow. I don't know what's going on in this place, but in any case. Now, I'm gonna chat on marriage, and what I want you to do is I wanted you to interpret it for yourself. I want you to, if you're in a relationship, try and see how this plays off in your relationship. If you're single, look at what I'm saying and commit your heart to these values because it's gonna help you. Number five, this is my last point. Every house has trash. The key is to take it out the right way. That's what Mark Driscoll said. Every relationship has trash, especially marriage. Put two sinners together, guess what you get? You get a lot of problems. I'm not going to lie. Now, the problem is you will have trash and you will fight. But is it going to be a good fight? That's a question. Is the trash in your relationship going to become a trashy relationship? Or are you going to acquire the tools to deal with these things? And that's what I'm on to right now. Let me show you what happens. If you decide, which you won't, that you are going to marry an unbeliever, someone that doesn't love Jesus, you're probably going to get stuck up with these things. If you're in a relationship with someone that doesn't love Jesus, maybe you'll agree with me already. There's a way that the enemy comes into a relationship to break the thing up. And it's four ways people tend to fight, which will cause that marriage to probably end in divorce. So be alert. So you start to fight and stuff gets wrong, but you don't have Jesus in your heart to kind of help you deal with the situation. So what happens, number one, is you criticize. You always do this. You are always like this. I want to have this, but you always like that. And you know what you do? Instead of welcoming your partner as an ally, you cause him to be an enemy. And instead of welcoming them close, you push them away. I'm on the point, worship binds marriage, right? Number two, what happens is, and this is heartbreaking, is people speak to one another and they say, "You are ugly. I can't stand you." You laugh. People say these things to one another. Did you know that? Probably some of you have had that said to you. "I can't stand you. I wish I never met you." Contempt. Maybe what that person's saying is not true, but they want to hurt you the best they can right now. And it hurts. It doesn't matter how they say it, it'll hurt you because you know who hurt you the most, those who are the closest to you. The person who stands next to you and say, listen, I want to be with you forever, and then tells you stuff like that, breaks your heart. You'll walk away. You'll go to your mother and never come back. Number three, how to not take out the trash is being defensive. Of course I did this because you always do that. So sometimes or every time being a believer, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about your heart first. But when the Holy Spirit is not allowed into your life, you know, the problem is not you, which it is, it's that person. And you make it verbal. It is your fault that I shouted at you. It is your fault that I broke the stuff, whatever. And you don't owe up. I'm going somewhere with this, just taking a bit of a detour. The other thing is stonewalling. You just get in your car and you go. And we find this sometimes in our relationships. Isn't that true, guys? Why? Because, I mean, we're still young and it's okay, we're growing. But you need to outgrow this. It's the same in our relationship with God. When there's something going on, we need to go towards God, not turn our back and go away. But now, because we do that with God, we do that in relationships. And she's hurt and she needs to be close. She needs to have clarity and you're not there. You're away. This is very bad for marriage. People, this may sink a marriage. Now, I'll tell you now why I'm on this point. Let's go to the next slide. Worship binds marriage. I'm going to share just a basic principle with you. So now you love Jesus, you serve him, and you worship him. You cherish him as Savior, and you want to exalt him as Lord. And you learn a few things about yourself. You're not such hot stuff as you thought. You are a sinner. And suddenly you realize, but I mean, you only saved because of Jesus, and that means there's a kind of humility that comes up in you. Man, I'm not hot stuff. I'm not perfect, but God is so gracious towards me. And as you worship God, you know, the more we worship God, the more we grow in humility. That's a fruit of worshiping God. And that humility runs over to your marriage and relationship. And he who worships probably repents about every day, right? God, I'm sorry for this. God, I'm sorry for that. And let me just read you this quote. Next one. Married couples don't fall out of love so much as they fall out of repentance. Did you know that? Because you're going to make mistakes every time, every day. So your love can't be based on that this relationship is perfect. Because it won't be. So you will never find true love. That's why in the stories, when they say they live happily ever after, it's always just after they met one another. Because if they have to show another minute of the movie, they would have a fight, okay? Because there's no such thing. But you know what's very refreshing? Two people coming together and saying, you know what? I messed up. I shouldn't have said it that way. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Isn't that refreshing? Isn't that like just a fresh breeze? And that builds love. Not perfection, not him doing everything right. Him being able to come to you and to repent. But if he can't repent before God, he can't repent before you. That's why worship binds marriage. Now that guy that stands in church and really worships God, he's probably a good one to go for, ladies. Maybe just go stand there in front of him like, yeah, put on your best perfume. You know? Expensive perfume. Oh, sorry, I bumped into you. Listen, girl, you bump into me every Sunday. Can't you like find the place to worship? Find your own spot. People that truly and deeply worship Jesus make good marriage couples, make a good partner. Make sure he loves Jesus more than you. If he wants to go on missions and you wanted to go on holiday, let him go. Send him away. Let him go on missions. He's going to learn to love you better by going on missions than hanging around with you. You're just going to tempt him. Okay? Now let's go back. Let's go back to the four horsemen, right? Now, when this situation happens in a marriage where there's worship, everything happens differently. So instead of criticizing you and saying it's you, it's like, love, there's something that bothers me. And I think it might be me. Can we talk about it? I am for us. And what you do in your conversation is you welcome your friend close. It's your best friend, right? So you welcome them close. You bring them near and you don't push them away. Because of worship, because that's what God did to you this morning. Right? And I don't even have to comment on number two. You don't talk like that when you worship Christ. If you are so happy and thankful about your salvation, you don't talk to another human in a condescending way. It's just not in you. Am I right, guys? It doesn't come out. In fact, when someone is ugly to someone, it hurts you. I mean, you kind of get uneasy because you know that's not how you handle people. That's why to worship Christ is at the center of a relationship. And so when it comes to defensiveness, the Holy Spirit comes to us often when we have a bit of a still staper. That's our way of fighting. Oh, washing the dishes louder and louder and louder and louder. Ek maak gou die deur toe. But you know what? You're just alone for a while, okay? You just walk the dog 10 meters and God starts speaking. Man, I loved you this morning, Van. I drew you close again. I forgave you again. I came and I fetched you out of that life when you were in school. Remember that. And you know, you go back to your wife. You say, know what? The problem is not you. It's me. Please forgive me. And then often she will say, no. It's not you. It's me. Okay? But that's the work that the Holy Spirit does. And then one thing leads to another and my wife is pregnant. That's how it works. You know, when you love God, I mean, God is so rich in his strategies. I mean, he's just perfect. He always calls relationships to come together, not walk away. Always. I mean, have you read that scripture? If you have something against your brother, talk to your friend about him. No. What does it say? Go to your brother. In my church, if I hear one murmuring, I get extremely mad because we try and exercise this. We go to one another. We sit around the table. And God loves that. So instead of stonewalling and driving your car and echalo vechre, because that's what I used to say. You're not going to agree with me, I'm going to go now. That's not the way to do it, guys. And it's often, more often the guys. Okay, the girls as well. You have a little, and then you go as well. But but God is in the bringing together business. He always brings together people. And so you learn to walk towards your partner. But you know, this is for married people, very good stuff. But you, relationship people, does this help you? Can you see maybe some of these things? Hopefully you see the things in your own heart that you can walk on. Have a conversation with your best friend about it and say, listen, this is a thing I want to. Because you know what? We all have past. I don't know your past. You don't know mine. But sometimes stuff happens in our life that predisposes us to this. Am I right? So if you're in Shofar Pretoria, do the foundations and do them quickly. Okay? Because it helps you to get over these things. That's why this stuff is there, not to keep you busy for a weekend, but to help you. And if you're not in Shofar, and you just ask that pastor there, Philip. He's a great friend of mine. I'm sure he'll make a space for you somewhere to come and participate. I'm creating more problems, eh, Philip? I'm almost done. Second last slide, I think, yes. If you worship Jesus And he understands these two things, repentance and forgiveness. You are in for a good ride. You're on the right track. Doesn't have to be perfect. But can he own up and say, you know what, I messed up. Please forgive me. Does he extend forgiveness towards you? And that flows from intimacy with Christ. Do you agree with me? And the last one, worship binds marriage. And I really hope that these things help you guys. And I speak to you like mature, almost like married people, because I want you to start thinking like that. All right? You know, when God came and fetched me, I just want to give you this story because this is where God changed me. So maybe you're stuck in stuff where you don't want to be. And you know what? God knows about it and he's ready to help you. Right? Now, when I was in school, I used to mess up like almost every weekend. And I would tell myself, this is the last time. I didn't know God at that time. Guess what? Next weekend, it was not the last time. Who knows that story? I'm going to stop. It's never going to happen again. Yeah, guess what? And at a certain stage, God was drawing me and he was pulling me closer to himself. And I had this little puchi, right? And as I was riding this puchi home on Saturday nights, I was crying. Because something within me was wanting to help me. Like, come on, Varys, you can do this. You need to give your heart to God. You need to get out so that God can start working in your life. Well, next week, same thing happened. Get on my scooter, get on the way home. Can't even see through the thing. The one night I hit a dog, like a proper haunt. No, because there was only tears in the thing. But you know what? I went to a church. I got on my knees and I started to sob. And just at that moment, God was just saving me, just giving me hope. And then I was baptized the day before I went to university. And the first few years in university, I just gave myself to God to just start working on me. You know, we had a bunch of friends that said, let's commit the next 2 years only to develop ourselves as guys. And we didn't go out. I didn't have a girlfriend the first 3 years of university, and I was just allowing God to work. I mean, Fred was preaching, and there was also relationship weeks and stuff, and I was just sponge, just, Lord, change me, change me, change me, change me. And you know what? I got married, and marriage is amazing. It's really amazing. I'm telling you now, you want marriage. You don't want a one-night stand. You want someone who loves you, who's there every day for you, caring for you, loving you, affirming you. And if God could change my life, he can change yours. So I want to tell you there's hope for you. But run towards God. Don't stonewall. Don't go away. Don't get in your car and go. Go towards God. Amen. Can we pray? Lord, I want to thank you for every person sitting here tonight. Lord, I want to thank you that what you have for them is even a lot more than what they can comprehend, Father. It's beautiful, Lord. It's loving. It's holy, Lord. It's fun. It's great, Lord. But they can't even see what you have for them, Father, because you are just wanting to work so supernaturally in them. And so I ask tonight, Father, that you will just, if there's people here, Lord, that you want to just pick up and help, that you will do that tonight. Father, if there's broken hearts tonight, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will reach into that heart tonight. Father, for us men, Lord, if we've been stubborn, Lord, and we walk down that wrong road, Lord, and we know, Lord, it's wrong, but we go again, Lord, help tonight. Prayer is simple tonight, Lord, help. Holy Spirit, reach into hearts and heal. Father, you want everyone here to have a whole heart. A heart that is seated in Christ, which identity is strong in God, Father. And I just want to ask, as our eyes are closed, if you have a broken heart tonight, just put up your hand. Thank you for those hands. Just put it up. I'm not going to call you to the front. Don't worry. I just want to pray for you. Okay. just as a sign, just put up your hand and say, I've got a broken heart and I want to be healed. And keep your hand up. If you are here tonight and you are going down that road often where you should not go, you know what I'm talking about. And you're saying, God, help me tonight. Tonight I start fresh. I want you to put up your hand. I'm not going back to the computer. I'm not going back to allowing my mind to put marriage above God. Whatever your thing is, just put up your hand. If you are scared that maybe God has forgotten about you and marriage is for everyone else, but just not for you. Because how can someone love me? If that's you, just put up your hand. Because that is a big lie. If you are sitting here tonight, I'm going to be straight, and you feel, man, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not as pretty as my friend. And you need God to come and deliver you from that lie. Just put up your hand. That's a lie. Father, as hands are in the air right now, Father, I pray that it will be a sign, Father, of people coming to you and saying, help, Lord. Lord, where there is hurt, Father, I pray healing in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, where there's stubbornness, where there's sin, I pray grace in the name of Jesus now. Grace that is effective. Grace that leads to holiness. Thank you, Father, that you see every hand and every heart. Father, I just feel that you're saying, especially to a few ladies tonight here, that you are pretty. You are perfectly made, and that you know their names. And even though they don't think about it and they won't believe it, you know exactly what you have for them. You've got it covered. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Guys, I want to ask one more thing. If you want prayer, this is not my church, but I believe there's some awesome small group leaders here. Please just come to the front and say, will you just pray with me and agree with me about this thing? It's not a shameful thing. It's a great thing. So if you want prayer, just come to the front and people will pray for you and just agree with you and support you. Amen? Do you want to make announcements for tomorrow night? Oh, before you go, do you have any questions? I'm scared. No questions in this place tonight. Was I too long? Well, I answered all the questions already. There's one. There's two. That's actually a guy in our church. My wife is a wedding photographer, so I pulled it from her website. We said, that photo, can we get that one? So I hope we don't get like sued or something. But guys, just 1 second, please.
About this whole fighting thing.
Yes.
Because you were saying you're not supposed to stonewall, but then very often, like when I fight with somebody, I would rather like stop, go to my room, think about it, and then come back. Like you were saying, you'd go out for 10 minutes and then afterwards you realize something. Is that stonewalling or is that something different?
No, stonewalling, did you get that question? Stonewalling has got to do with the heart, right? Sometimes you need to break the conversation because you have patience toward that person. You need to go and pull strength from somewhere. But that is not to hurt. Okay? It's to love. So there's a big difference. Stonewalling is I'm going away because I'm going to leave you in this state because I want to hurt you like you've hurt me. But letting off some steam. Guys, sometimes you go for a jog, you come back and God just spoke to you. That is not stonewalling. Do you get me? Okay? That's a good question because I thought that might be a question that comes up with this, and I'm glad you asked that. Thank you. Let's do two more questions and then we can go home. Is there anyone that wants to know something? Otherwise, I'm going to give to Philip. That's because it's already night number 3 and you've already given them all the answers. Yeah. Thank you, guys. It was awesome.
Speak, you give power to the weak.
for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like you.